Welcome to the Second Court of Appeals. We have done our panel switch so that we have the correct panel here for you all. Justice Sutterith has joined us for our 1-3 o'clock case in the interest of CR and AR. Cause number 214-275-CV out of Tarrant County. And I believe y'all have checked in. If you can announce who is arguing today, I guess it's you two. All right, Mr. Westergren.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm Sam Westergren. I'm practicing Corpus Christi. We're the appellant. Lives also the mother of CR and AR. And
I'm from Corpus Christi. Just thought I'd add that.
Okay. I'm here. The main issue here revolves around an order of motion for sanctions that the trial judge issued on July the 29th of 2014. The hearing was a motion for sanctions for failure to attend two depositions. The record is replete with comments that was what the hearing was about. And it was admitted by the appellant that she did miss two depositions. However, there is evidence in the record that she did submit by email explanations of her non-appearance. And nevertheless, the most harsh order that could ever be issued was issued.
I'm trying to understand what the practical consequences were of this striking of the pleadings and the default judgment, because it seems to me that she was able to participate. And so what were the, I know that technically that's the sanction that was imposed, but what were the negative effects as far as your client is concerned on that having occurred?
The negative effects were that the appellee was granted modification on the merits, and she was precluded from presenting any evidence in the future. So the court, as a result of the two missing depositions, imposed the extreme sanction of basically, as the court said in the record, it's a summary judgment against you.
Summary judgment or default?
Pardon me?
Summary judgment or default judgment?
It's a default judgment, but the trial court said it was like a summary judgment.
Okay.
Is what he said, and that's other words. The
and so the trial court did it without any evidence.
There was evidence about missing the depositions, yes,
but no other evidence in support of the judgment that was.
There was other evidence about the our conservatorship issues, but it was my understanding that, and the record reflects, that the sole purpose of the hearing was for the two missing depositions, and that to me is against, in other words, there was no discussion of why this sanction was appropriate and not a lesser sanction nor was there any explanation of why the most harsh sanction you can give was given in this case.
Was she present at the hearing?
She was present at the July the 29th hearing. Yes, she was.
But she was pro se?
Yes, she was pro se.
Thank you.
And that's basically the Supreme Court has held that that is the most egregious thing that a trial court can do. It's the most devastating action a trial court can take. You're just taking a case away when a lesser sanction would be more appropriate. And that's what happened in this case.
When the hearing took place, was the mother allowed to cross-examine any of the father's witnesses?
Yes, there was the only witness there was the father, and she was allowed to cross-examine, but she didn't do very well. She didn't ask any relevant questions.
So really you have two complaints about the hearing then, she went there for the motion for sanctions hearing, which you have problems with, but then also immediately proceeded to a hearing on the evidence.
Yes.
So she's also complaining then that she didn't have proper notice of that hearing, is that correct?
That's correct. That she was under the impression that it was for the missing depositions. And for example, on page 14 of volume 3, it's stated, this is a motion for sanctions relevant to the appearance or non-appearance of a deposition. And then the court asked the mother, anything else you want to tell me about non-appearance or at the deposition?
Did the movement move for death penalty sanctions?
Did
the movement move for death penalty sanctions? Was she on notice that they were requesting death penalty sanctions?
No.
So they just asked for sanctions but didn't specify.
It's my understanding they asked for sanctions. It wasn't my impression that she had notice of death penalty sanctions. And also,
was there evidence of what was the best interest? What was in the best interest of the two children? Did father put on evidence of best interest of the children?
Not just his own testimony.
Okay. And the effect or the result of her being not allowed to put on evidence herself?
She didn't. No, she did not put on testimony herself. She was she didn't do very well as a litigant.
Sure.
And also she's complaining that there, after this hearing, there a motion to sign a final order was filed. And where they actually on September the 13th, they actually had a hearing where they presented more evidence, and she did not attend that hearing. She was under the impression that it was just a hearing to sign the order setting out the relative duties of visitation and child support and nothing to do with, she was under the impression that the merits of the conservatorship had already been decided. So she did not attend that hearing. The fact is, she appealed the death penalty order, which said it was a final order, timely.
Would you take the same position if she had been represented by counsel and counsel knew that there was a hearing on a motion to sign an order and just decided, well, I don't have an interest in that, so I'm not going to show up and see what happens at the hearing? Or are you saying that there's a different standard for pro ses?
No, I'm not.
Because I don't think it would be acceptable for an attorney to take that position, would it?
I don't think there's a different standard. No, there's not a different standard for pro se litigants.
So your position is that had she been represented by an attorney, it would have just been fine for that attorney not to show up for that hearing because he didn't think he had an interest in it and just simply not appear, even though the case is set for there's a matter that's going to be heard? Just to say I'm not going to show up because I don't think I've got an interest in it?
It had been appealed. That order had been appealed. Since it was a final order, it had been appealed. And a motion to stay further action of the trial court had been filed in this court before that hearing had occurred.
Had it been ruled upon?
It was dismissed. That's correct. But my point is the motion to sign did not give sufficient notice of what was involved, that there was evidence of that substantive evidence would be given on the merits of the modification, since that had already been decided by the judge against her in a final judgment. The judgment of July the 29th, 2014, a final judgment stating that a final judgment of modification is granted. A final judgment of modification is granted.
So if she had shown up that day or shown up through counsel, they could have objected to additional evidence being heard and created a record of their preservation of that error. But by not showing up, then she didn't get an opportunity to object to what might be improper, but that was her choice in not coming to the hearing in the first place, isn't it?
She felt that she was prohibited from introducing or producing any evidence by the order, which specifically states you are prohibited from introducing or producing evidence of any kind, which she took to be pretty broad, which limited her ability to represent herself in any proceeding. And there is just nothing in the record that explains why such a severe sanction was appropriate or why a lesser sanction should not be given.
Had she had an attorney earlier when the divorce decree was entered?
No, she did not have an attorney in the trial court.
She was pro se from the very beginning?
Yes.
Was she indigent? Did she file an affidavit?
Yeah, she's indigent. Yes, she has a pauper's oath on file with this court.
With this court, but what about the divorce? The original divorce.
She has a pauper's oath on file with the trial court also.
Well, did Judge Harris give her the opportunity to ask for counsel, or did he ask her whether she wanted counsel appointed?
She went into a long explanation of why she was not able to get counsel. She tried to get legal aid, but they were unavailable or booked up, and she was not able to get counsel.
But no, okay, I'm confused. There was no contest. Was there a contest to her pauper's affidavit?
No one contested the pauper's affidavit. No, Your Honor, no one did.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Westergren. Mr. Ferris.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. This is not a sanctions case where the trial court was dealing with a lawyer or a litigant who just wouldn't play by the rules. This is a case where we have an unfortunate situation where we have a bipolar, depressed pro se who can't play by the rules. And Judge Harris was in a situation where he had to get this case off of dead center so he could address the issue that every court in the state of Texas has said is the principal concern, the children's welfare. And there were several hearings in this case, actually. Justice Carter, I don't remember whether or not the appellant was represented by trial counsel at the divorce. She did have trial counsel in the subsequent hearings, and that attorney withdrew. And the attorney withdrew because she threw her hands up in the air because her client would not cooperate. Again, a very unfortunate situation, not a punishment situation. It's just a what are we going to do situation. That was one hearing. There was a second hearing where the court granted the sanction because she would not appear for depositions. The case was set for trial, and there was a final hearing on the trial date in this case, or on the scheduled trial date, and that's when the court actually heard evidence. And I've outlined the evidence briefly in the appellant's brief. I would like to add something I overlooked, and it's significant, not for a new reason, but because this court, in an opinion you wrote, Chief Justice, back in last month, KT versus MT, and in that case you noted that the trial court is in a better position to decide issues in a custody case in part because of the opportunity to observe the party's demeanor. Andy Vogel asked that question. He asked of the appellee, the demeanor that you have just described to the court, is that the same demeanor that was demonstrated here in the court in a prior hearing, which was the sanctions hearing about 2 months earlier? And the appellee said, yes, it was. So you do have evidence. They didn't pile on, but there's sufficient evidence, certainly, that and the appellee is a medical doctor. And he testified about the bipolar diagnosis of the appellant, and I've appended to the appellee's brief all the medical records pertaining to her two-week hospitalization in El Paso, where she was found driving lost in the streets of El Paso. So, yeah, we got a case about this poor lady. She had a right to show up if she'd wanted to at the hearing. It was at the same date that the case had been set for trial. Under the Texas Supreme Court case in Paradigm Oil, she had a right to show up and contest the case. Would Judge Harris have allowed her to put on testimony? We don't know because she didn't try. She had an opportunity to, she had more than one opportunity to file a motion for a new trial in this case. This case has a history after it arrived up here. The appellant filed a notice of appeal, and I'm screaming and yelling, this is not a final final judgment that's appealable. And I finally, the appellant was persuaded I was correct, so they filed a new notice of appeal. In the interim, this final hearing occurred, where the court actually heard evidence. I think I've covered it. Does the court have any questions?
I did about the notice. I think there was one question raised about the sufficient notice of the trial setting, but that apparently had been given a long time before.
There are cases out there, and I've cited some in the appellee's brief, where the courts have said it's presumed that the court wouldn't go to trial without sufficient notice. Here's what drives me crazy, Your Honor. The clerks in trial courts do not include setting letters in the record. You can't get a setting record in the letter. It's happened in this county. It's happened to me over in Dallas County when I was on the flip side of the case. So that presumption has to be there unless the Supreme Court creates a new rule that says put those setting letters in the record. That's where we are.
Thank
you. So there is no setting letter in the record, but the case was set for trial, and that is in the record. Does the court have any more questions for me?
I don't believe so.
Thank you,
Mr. Ferris. Mr. Westergren, rebuttal?
I still repeat that there is no justification that I've heard for such an extreme sanction to occur. It's true that she had some mental illnesses, but the records that he had pinned to his brief also show that she was recovering. Not that she is cured, but she is recovering. And that there is insufficient, I can't emphasize enough that there was just no explanation on the record for such a severe sanction. And nothing has been rebutted that there was no notice that this was a death penalty sanction. So that's pretty clear that it's a pretty harsh remedy. Her remedy after that order were very, whatever she could do was very limited, and I emphasize that there was insufficient notice that there would be any trial on the merits. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Westergren. Gentlemen, we appreciate all of your briefing in this matter. We also appreciate your arguments today. Your case is now submitted. And that concludes our 3 o'clock docket, so we now will adjourn. And you